Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week, we've got Justin Fick.
How's it going, Blake Buck?
Doing good. No William Miller this week, Justin Fick.
Is this crunch time on
It's on always crunch time on that old game of his. And that's all I have to say about that. And this is your best damn podcast ever for...
he's going to have to crunch if he wants to whip up... kick Skyrim's ass there.
That's true.
They've been bringing some heat.
This is your best damn podcast ever for July 13th, 2011. All right, Justin Fick, we got some decent news to talk about, and there's also a couple of changes we got in mind. Should we go ahead and talk about those changes now? Or we'll save that for later. We'll save that for afternoon.
We'll save that for when we get there.
Okay, all right.
We'll try it out.
What's your first news for us, Justin Fick?
Okay, so my first news is Square Enix has sued pirates over the Deus Ex demo. And unfortunately, Valve has kind of gotten caught in the middle of this whole thing. So I don't know if everyone knows that the new Deus Ex Human Revolution is supposed to be coming out August 23rd.
Oh, boy.
And there is a demo that went out to press and such, and pirates were able to get a hold of it and distribute it. So
is that so shocking though? I mean, you send it out, especially for PC games, this kind of thing is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason, however, why this is interesting, is because the demo was distributed on Steam.
Well, Sec has gotten into Steam. We're all doomed, Justin Fick.
So the pirates were able to either get one of the codes or access it somehow on Steam, and then distribute it from there. So you know, like Valve isn't being sued or anything. They're just sort of like in this awkward in the middle position. Yeah, like you know, it's sort of like you know. They're the one that accidentally blurted out that so and so is sleeping with so and so's wife, and they're like,
is that what it's like?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of some like you know some like innocent like whoops like you know it's like
no we're, no it's, we're, it, it
we're,
works.
We're part of this but we're not
right.
So there's you know. The defendants haven't been named yet. They're you know it's John like, John Doe 1 through 15. But
are they are they suing anybody? Who publishes this game again? Who did you say? Activision?
Square Enix.
Square Enix. My bad.
So they're suing John Doe 1 through 15. Who you know there's no names, but I think according to I don't know like IP addresses or whatnot, they believe that they're all Italian residents.
Oh,
so that's
never send your demos to Italy.
Yeah,
I think that was in Godfather Part 2.
All us Italians be stealing them demos.
Just think it was just you. Admit it. Come clean.
I am John Doe 1 through 8. No, don't say that.
Your penis is 9 through 15.
Yeah.
All right. So, but I guess I mean I don't know what's the traditional way of getting. I guess. Back in the day, think back to the N64 days, right, when you wanted Electronic Gaming Monthly to see your game. I guess you would send them a preview build to their office, right? I mean, this process isn't so new, but I guess the digital distribution angle is.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, I can't speak authoritatively on how it was done in the console days. Like, I don't know if they send them a tape or if there's, you know, some sort of dev kit they can download a build on or what.
I'm thinking it's probably tapes.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure this isn't the first game that, you know, demos were distributed over Steam like this, but it's, you know, it seems to be the first one where it's been cracked. So, and,
hooray for pirates then.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it also doesn't mention if, you know, this was Steam getting hacked by these pirates or, you know, it kind of makes it sound like someone just got the code from a magazine. So it could have very, very easily been one of these Italian gaming magazines. The guy went home on Steam and downloaded it himself and then sent it to his friends. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean...
just to sue somebody over something like this, I mean, it's not even the full game they got. I mean, I guess technically, oh, well, if the bad press gets out, then that's X number of dollars lost. But in the grand scheme of things, it seems like kind of not a big deal
I can see this. I mean, I've seen sort of firsthand now the way press is kind of controlled by companies. Like, it's, you know, it's the timing of these kinds of things and what people see and what magazines see. And, you know, it's companies want to maintain a very tight control over.
I know that, but
who sees what and when.
I'm still a believer. I'm in the camp of, if you have a good game, people are going to want to talk about it and see it and buy it. I mean, you could say, oh, well, the marketing was, I mean, no, I mean, well, perhaps this has happened, but I doubt it's very often that a game comes out and it's great and fantastic and everybody loves it. And, oh, we didn't time our marketing elements right. We didn't time our demo right to the press office. I mean, sure, maybe you can time a release of a game poorly, but the time when the tape gets to whoever, it seems...
I would say, like, you know, especially with these huge AAA games, like, you know, Deus Ex, the first one was you know, a phenomenal game, and I'm sure this one is very, very anticipated.
Well, and it's always been kind of a second-run game. I mean, even when Deus Ex came out, you know, it was, what, Ion Storm came out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is Ion Storm's relation to Daikatana? Because that needs to be cleared up right now for me to continue speaking of it.
Yeah, Ion Storm was, it's a couple of designers. Warren Spector was one of them who did Deus Ex. And, you know, another right. one of which was John Romero, who did Daikatana. So it was kind of these, a couple of different designers. There's a third one in there, too, and I can't remember them off the top of my head. But there are a couple of these designers, each working with a team from the same company, Ion Storm.
Right. You know, I've read a little of that Masters of Doom book, you know, and they mentioned Ion Storm in there, where, mm-hmm. because a buddy of mine just went to Austin and showed me some pictures of that building they were based out of, that glass tower in downtown,
oh, God, yeah.
where they all had to apparently put, like, drape cloth over their cubicles to keep the light out of this
yes, tower that's a, of that's light. A, Masters of Doom is a great fucking book. I love that book.
You should, anybody who's not ready, you should definitely go check it out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter how you feel about Daikatana and John Romero. Like, it's a really fascinating story of how that company formed and
died.
And died, basically.
I might Kindle me that book. I'm on the plane tomorrow. I'm gonna heat it up.
Nice. Where are you off to, Blake, bud?
Dude, I'm going this weekend to none other than California Extreme Classic Gaming Convention. Dude, I'm pumped.
What convention is called the Classic Gaming Convention?
Oh, no, it's called California Extreme.
Okay.
Which I've heard about for years in different places, but my brother's just bored. He's like, hey, Blake, want to go with me to California Extreme? I'm unemployed. Why would I say no? So that's where I'm going this weekend.
Nice.
So I'm going to give you, I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but there's going to be some videos for sure.
A new Fear and Loathing in,
Yeah, I might have to just make me my own press badge. I'll be like, oh, this is a best damn podcast ever. You never heard of it? Yeah, it's like crazy popular.
Yeah, like dude, you should totally make this your mission. Is just go in there and just fucking gonzo journalism that shit. Sneak in, fake credentials, you know, build yourself up. Do whatever you gotta do.
I'll just look like a douchey, like... you know, web2.0.com-er, and everyone will let me in. That's all. You gotta have that game journalist look. Oh, I'm all about creating synergy and developing new media platforms, social networking. You know what I'm saying? Oh, right this way, sir. What is he doing at a classic game convention? I don't know.
None of this is classic at all. Just tell me you want to help gamify their convention.
Yeah, their social media platform network bonsai.
Yeah, just like bombard them with that shit, and then just and then have Ben Buck film it and see what happens.
Well, we'll see. I'll definitely get something on the tape, because dude, I got that new HD cam now. It's gonna be looking hot.
Woo! Nice.
Anyway, dude, so what
actually,
else? On?
The what I've been dying to go to is I was writing about this earlier today too. I had no idea this even existed. Fantastic Arcade. You heard of that?
I have not.
It's in Austin in September, like late September. but it's like all indie games, but when you submit it and it gets accepted into this Fantastic Arcade, I guess it's part of Fantastic Fest, which is down there too.
Okay. Dude, Austin has all the cool things.
Fucking A.
They've got, what's a, man, I've been reading a ton of stuff about like South by Southwest, and there's a ton of like music tech.
Yeah.
All this music tech stuff that happens down there during that.
Austin is hopping.
Let's move to Austin. Done.
I almost went to school down there, actually. I almost went to UT Austin. So instead,
you're filled with years of regret, Justin Fink. Yeah.
I went to California. I don't regret my choice, but like Austin, dude, is very it reminds me a lot of New York, actually. It's very jazzy, it's very urban. It's not Hickville at all.
Right.
It's very much a big city.
Right.
So, but yeah, like every game that gets accepted into this, someone actually makes an arcade cabinet for it.
Ooh.
And nice. It gets shown off. Like the deadline this year is August, so I can't submit anything. But next year, dude, I want to submit some of that shit.
Oh, dude, that'd be pimp. Well, hell, just drag an old tape out of the closet. Here's Kill Dr. Cote. Make me a cabinet. Go.
Actually, yeah. Worst thing to say is no.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll try that shit.
All right, so I don't know how the hell what were we talking about?
Quadruple tangent. Yeah, down.
All right. Speaking of more, or is there anything else to that story, Justin Fick?
Not really. This is this is brand new shit. So I'm sure we're gonna be finding out about who gets sued and what role Valve plays into this, and
oh boy,
all that wonderful.
Yeah, it seems
nonsense.
Like the gaming industry is filled almost as much with layoffs these days as people getting sued. They're about neck and neck with layoffs to Nintendo Nintendo sued over 3DS tech. Tomita Technologies, I guess that's a company, takes a handheld maker to court alleging infringement on the 2003 patent for glasses-free stereoscopic 3D technology.
Mm.
So, what's this guy's name? Oh, let me get his name just right, because I'm sure it's... Oh, where is it? Apple F Japanese sounding. Can't do it. Oh, so there's this guy, Seijiro Tomita, that worked at Sony for, you know, a long time, and then it quit in 2003 to start working on his own technologies, right?
Okay.
Now they come out with the 3DS, and he claims that he had the patent to the glasses-free, you know, sort of holographic technology that it uses. I guess it's holographic. I guess stereoscopic would be the closer word than holographic. Just,
yeah.
I don't know what stereoscopic means. That word scares me.
It means there's two images that you're seeing, one with each eye.
Right. So, basically, he's suing, claiming that he had the patent to this, and Nintendo copied the idea. Nintendo hasn't responded in this article here, but I'm sure they'll go to... I mean, this occurs pretty often in the gaming industry, I'd say, Justin Fink.
Yeah, well, I mean, this happened with, Let's see,
the Wii Rumble. Had it? Rumble? The DualShock. I remember
The DualShock had this sort of thing as well.
The Balance Board had a lawsuit. The PlayStation Blu-ray format even had a patent come over it. So not so uncommon for these new technologies to come up. What usually, you know, you never really hear about the ends of these lawsuits because they usually settle out of court and don't really say anything about it, and you don't really hear the resolution.
I think some of these, for instance, I mean, I haven't read this one myself, but this one kind of sounds legit to me, just based on the circumstances.
Mm.
You know, kind of like the Rumble Control, you know, where the guy actually did have something legit.
The key is you had something. Like, this is a little different from the Edge guy, where what do you have? You have nothing. You have an idea or a graphic, you know, that's not a word. But if this person actually has a tangible thing, they're like, this is what I tangibly did. Here's where they literally copied. You can see how it's the same. Then Nintendo should be held responsible for not, or at least have to pay licensing fees or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, my guess is Nintendo, it probably wasn't even on their radar. Or maybe it was. I don't know. But, you know, it's possible that they didn't even really see this coming and that there's a patent out there. And, you know, it's... not again, that uncommon of an idea. It's again, like, it's not like they, you know, it's this guy was the only person to ever come up with this. Right. I'm sure, you know, people at Nintendo are like, hey, we can do this 3D.
Yeah, anybody who's seen one of those cheesy, like, holographic baseball cards, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Or lunchboxes could have made this.
Exactly.
Are you going to claim the dude who invented the holographic? I mean, he could say he has a patent, right? Holographic lunchbox, dude.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's perfectly feasible that two separate, I guess, you know, scientists, I suppose, would come up with the same device. One, you know, and the first one has a patent, and the second one doesn't know the patent exists. I don't know.
Now, Jessica, you know what I think? You know what I think would be amazing? If this is, like we talked about before, I think William Miller brought this up. This is all controlled by Japanese syndicates. It's like, you know, these big companies are just like crime families. And they have this designer, and they bring him up, and they say, you give us your design, or you'll forfeit your life. And they get a 32-foot katana pulled out across the conference table.
Yeah, instead of heroin, it's patents over there in Japan.
Like, I've been watching, for whatever reason, I found these DVDs. I got drunk my last night living in Oxford. And I woke up the next morning, and there was a copy of Cowboy Bebop, the DVD collection, on my chest.
Nice.
I don't really know how it got there, so I took it, and I've been watching that lately.
Now, when you say on your chest, you mean like, you know, like a piece of furniture, or it's on your body?
No, it was on my body. I don't know where it came from, but it seems like I'm supposed to. That's like God telling me I need to watch it. But man, yeah, it's like the same. It's like all those Japanese syndicates in Cowboy Bebop. It's just like Nintendo going over these patents. I can see it in my head, the scene playing out. You know, it'd be funny. I should get a scene from that and just like change all the subtitles to "We heard that you had the patent."
Yeah, just change the dialogue. Forget subtitles. You should just straight up dub it.
Yeah. Man, okay, this is kind of a tangent. I was thinking about dubbing, like, anime and anything, really, because, man, okay, well, I'm sort of jumping the gun here, but I've been playing, Comic Jumper, and first of all, I can't believe this game has been off my radar, but I'll get to that later.
Okay.
But the voice work in it, the same guy who does the voice of the Comic Jumper guy also does, like, a ton of, like, Dragon Ball Z voices and stuff. He's
okay.
Like Vegeta off Dragon Ball Z, and I went on his Wikipedia. He does, like, a mountain of voiceover work, and I was thinking, how do you get in that circuit? That's pretty sweet. You just get to be everybody. There's maybe, I mean, there can't be more than two dozen of these voiceover guys that do all the voiceover work in the whole country. I mean, maybe it's more than that, but it can't be much.
Yeah, anyway. Or like the, I forget the guy's name. The guy that does Marcus Fenix and Bender in Futurama. It's John something or other. I forget his fucking name. But, like, he's in fucking everything, too. And the voice of Duke Nukem, I think it's like John St. John is Duke Nukem.
Huh.
Like, he actually just charges people to send him a line, and he sends them an audio clip of him saying it.
No, yeah, I've seen some people. I've seen some other people online that do that. They're like, do you want your shit to sound awesome? Just send me an email with what you want me to say, and here's my charge per line.
Yeah.
Look,
dude,
all right, guys.
You can do that shit. Blake Buck has some voice work.
Jessica. If you want Blake Buck to say anything, $100 a word. This is a fundraiser for the best jam podcast ever. I'll say anything. You know I will. Just bring me that money, baby. Justin Fick.
Blake Buck.
Did you know if you don't plug in your laptop, they will turn it right off? Twenty minutes, my ass. Fucking Apple. No, it's 2 minutes. All right, but I'm back now.
So I'm all right.
I left Craig Reed a message, and I'm recording again.
All right. Should I start a new one or keep rolling?
Just keep rolling. He can figure it out. You can figure it out, right, Craig? He's going, God, no! Anyway, so I guess to wrap this up, Justin Fick, I don't know. We'll see how this turns out, or likely we won't, because we'll settle out of court and it'll be, you know, or behind some closed door ceremony.
Yeah. Typically the end of a lot of these is it ends up being legit, and, you know, the sued company, you know, pays, you know, settles or pays some sort of damages or whatever.
Drops a grenade into a cathedral. It blows up. We never hear from him again.
Yeah. Yeah, or just has the dude assassinated.
All right, so what other news you got for us?
All right, so my other news is I have a rumor for you. So you know how we've been talking that, you know, Nintendo's kind of, in terms of next consoles, Nintendo sort of blew its wad with the Wii U first, right. And then that Sony and Microsoft are likely waiting until, like, 2014. Mm-hmm. So now there's a rumor that the PlayStation 4 is arriving sometime next year.
I don't know. It could happen, but I mean, I don't. What is the evidence it cites? Is there anything there?
All right. So there's evidence from Taiwan-based component makers. There is a technology site called Digitimes that's reporting that PS4 will go into production later this year, and the release window is sometime in 2012. It doesn't say what the console will be able to do graphically. All it says is that we'll have a movement-based control like Kinect.
Honestly, the more I think about this, the more sense this makes. Because really, what does Sony have to lose? Right? What is Sony gonna do? Let's take our current console, give it Kinect and Wiggle built in out of the box, and make it real fast. I mean, like it or not, if it's next year or if it's the year after, that's what the next Sony console is going to be, with probably without a doubt, is going to be that.
Probably, but making it a PS4, I mean, I think at this point, you know, I don't know. It's just with a PS3 in relationship to the PS2, you know, like it kind of split the PlayStation world in half. I mean, after backwards compatibility stopped anyway, because now I have both a PS2 and a PS3. And, you know, especially with, you know, people saying the PS3 is just starting to hit its stride and it's a long-term commitment and, you know, it's a long-term strategy. And it's, in my opinion, it's just starting to kick in. Like, you know, I find myself going to my PS3 now. You know, more often than my Xbox. I mean, this is personal anecdotal evidence, but I don't know. It seems like another PlayStation is jumping the gun now, and it feels like they're kind of selling short.
But
if
Nintendo does have a pretty comprehensive plan with their Wii U, which they're trying to angle like they do, I mean, we'll see how well to put together is. But if they've a year a head start, if they're trying to compete graphically with the PS3 and all that jazz, or the PS4 or whatever, maybe they don't want to lose a year to Nintendo.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, Sony's kind of, in my opinion, they're kind of solid where they are. You know, it's like, Microsoft is pushing all this crazy Kinect shit, trying to be like the, you know, Nintendo Me Too kind of company. Mm-hmm. I don't think Sony should really do that as well. I mean, because Microsoft's already got the jump on the aping Nintendo market.
Right.
And I don't know, it really just seems like the PlayStation needs to just be steady on the course. I mean, for me, it would make more sense to, you know, like you mentioned, have the next console be a faster PS3 with, you know, move and wiggle built in and all that good shit. But why not just have that be an updated PS3? Like, they've made many versions of the PS3 now.
That's true. Especially, man, I was at my brother's house this weekend. I was playing with the PSP, and I was thinking, damn, this thing had a lot of versions. Like, yeah. I had the original one, then they made the Slim, and then they had the Go, and then they had, like, the Slim. I believe there were maybe even three different versions of the Slim. Because they had the Slim, then they had, like, the Slim 2000 or something. Yep. I think there was, like, even one more that I'm forgetting. But, yeah, I mean, it also kind of seems like we're moving, certainly with the iPhone, from a console, from a gaming world that's less about the platform. You see what I'm saying? Like, is it possible that Sony could adopt sort of Apple's model of making all games compatible with all systems, but then giving you different fidelity levels on each iteration of the platform?
I would say if they want to do that, then they need to definitely make sure they can do that. So don't have any more situations where you're leaving out PS2 games, for instance.
Well, I think now that's certainly possible, whereas 10 years or even 5 years ago in the gaming industry, that was not possible to have. Because, I mean, games, especially when you look at the iPhone, games can scale down to even the most basic iPhone 1, most of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, there are some that will only play on iPhone 4 and 3GS, but most all of them will scale nicely. And also, even high-end shooters like Crysis, or not, maybe not Crysis, I guess Crysis 2 or... You know, all of Crytek's games all scale, or id's games all scale down to really shitty settings. So why not go with the sort of more PC-centered approach?
Yeah. That, I think, honestly, that sounds kind of fascinating to me. And, you know, it's instead of having this console with this set spec, you know, just have a new model of it, like, every year that's more powerful than the last.
Hell, that's what everybody else is doing in the gaming industry. Come out with something new every year. I got to buy the new thing of everything every year. I got to buy a new phone every year. And I'm buying a new PlayStation every year.
Yeah, every year. Then it sort of becomes like, what's the specs on your PS3?
Yeah, right.
You know? I think if they want to do that, then they can never leave out.
Well, they basically did that though
system.
with the PSP, because even the later PSPs had more RAM and loaded faster than the original PSPs. I think they had double the RAM in them.
Okay,
which, why not?
Yeah, I think the only key is never to, fragment the PS3 spec enough where games coming out for the newest model can't run on the oldest model.
Right. It's a slippery slope to pissing off your customers.
Yeah, so I mean, like the iPhone can do that because, I don't know, like the iPhone is disposable compared
phones
to
phones usually,
to a,
I mean, basically, most everybody I know replaces their phone every 2 years. That contract comes up, you get the big discount, you get the new phone, right? Whereas, I think, at least now, I feel like consoles are a bigger commitment, but certainly 10 years from now, they may not be. We may be buying, you know, the new Xbox or the new TV or the new, you know, on live box every other year.
Yeah. Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, then it's, you know, it's not as much of a risk to, you know, to launch a new system.
Right.
You can increment on a system. You can iterate on it instead of having to, instead of having to do this whole new thing.
Right, because look at what a huge risk the PS... I mean, like, just any of these big console launches are. They're a huge risk to everybody involved.
Yeah.
I mean, no one likes it. No one likes doing it. But, you know, technology forces... You know, people want faster, better. And so, if you can take baby steps every year, it seems like it does work better. I think it works. I think, on the end, the customer experience would be better.
Yeah, I mean, from the armchair perspective, too, it seems like an easier way to strategize against the other guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so instead of having my console every 5 years, you know, say if Xbox is ahead of PlayStation, you know, like, for instance, the Xbox 360 was ahead of the PlayStation 3. Now, instead of, okay, well, how do we get that back in 5 years? It's, what can we add right now to our shit? And come out and, you know, have a new version of the PS3 that comes out in a year that moves against the Xbox, you know?
More competition. So more innovation.
And it's a little more agility, too, for these really huge monolithic companies like this. Because, I mean, you know, for instance, if the Wii U sucks, Nintendo's in really deep shit.
Right.
You know, it's not like they can make that up if the Wii U fails. You know, like, they're kind of putting all their eggs in, you know,
and,
in their
and
in
one
their
egg
new
baby.
Console. Yeah, in one egg baby. So, you know, it's the 3DS is, you know, came out and it's kind of eh.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, combine kind of eh.
I don't know.
I don't know
about kind of
eh,
because I'm going on this trip now and I'm like, damn, wish I had that new Zelda tape. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, I mean, I, you know, I do kind of want the 3DS still, but it's not like, it's because it's the new thing. It's not because it's like, oh my god, I have to have this.
Yeah, there's no killer app yet.
Yeah, it's
even
it's
Zelda's
more like,
not
okay,
a killer
well,
app, not really.
Yeah, it's sort of like, okay, this is, you know, this has the potential to be really big, so, you know, might as well get on it.
Well, certainly in the past, Nintendo has let us down when they promised... When there was potential,
well, I mean,
they've let us down. But I think perhaps now they can straighten up.
Yeah, well,
path.
I mean, you know, that said, like the original DS was kind of a letdown for me too. You know, when the very first DS came out, like, it kind of blew.
Yeah, oh, my God. Especially, yeah, that big fucking dumb blue thing. Oh, my God. A brother of mine still has the original 3DS, or the original DS. What a crap. Oh, my God, it's the ugliest game console of all time. That and the PS2, are that's the ugliest handheld game console, the DS, the original blue DS, and definitely the... I don't know. Yeah, the PS2 with the network adapter on the back, that is the ugliest home console of all time.
But I mean, you know, like it was this, you know, the DS was clunky, and it, you know, for me anyway, it hurt to hold it in my hands for too long. Mm-hmm. And the games on launch sucked ass. Like it had Super Mario 64 on it, but it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And we had, like, what else? Like, Ridge Racer.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking...
God, where's my soundboard? Like, I can just hit a button for Cause Horizon and Ridge Racer. Yeah. Oh, damn it. These are all features, I swear, are coming. Because I could set that up. I'm just too lazy.
Yeah, like the entire launch line of the original DS, or the launch lineup of the original DS, it blew.
I would map Ridge Racer.
They were able to fill that in over time.
Right. I would map Ridge Racer to R. That's how I would remember. Let me see if it works. Damn it, not yet. I'm just come on. All right, so let's move on here, Justin Fick, to Mirror's Edge 2, possibly in development ? EA Senior Vice President Patrick Soderlund says DICE is, quote-unquote, working on something to follow up the well-received free-running original game Mirror's Edge. So, I think we talked about Mirror's Edge. I loved Mirror's Edge. I thought it was a fantastic game. And I thought...
Yeah, I like it. I like the fact that it exists. It wasn't a phenomenal game for me, but, you know...
Just figure, are you eating chocolate? Admit it.
I'm eating cookies.
See, without William Miller here to keep you straight, what happens? You're like Jeff Gerstmann. You get fucking 10 minutes into a podcast, can't fucking do anything but talk about eating.
I wasn't expecting to be called on so soon, but I thought I had time to eat this cookie while you were reading this news story.
Yeah, because you're in class, cookie. I'm going to call on you for questioning. anyway, so...
It's also an Oreo, I'll have you know.
Okay. All is forgiven. They had that, what was it? They had, I think, maybe one or two. I had one iPhone game for Mirror's Edge, and I think an iPad, maybe HD remake or something. Not like the original, but sort of an upscale version of the iPhone for iPad. So this doesn't necessarily
I like the iPhone version of it. I got it a buck on one of them iPhone janks.
I haven't played it at all. What is it like?
It's totally 2D side view, and it's a lot like it's kind of a lot like I guess Cannibalt. You ever played that indie game Cannibalt?
Oh, yeah, it's so familiar. I'm sure I have. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Yeah. Right. It's the kind of free runner, or I guess the running man, where you hop over the buildings and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it kind of goes in that direction where it gives you a side view and you have to, like, you know, swipe down to slide under shit and swipe up to jump and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's honestly, it's not as good as something like, you know, Cannonball, which doesn't do much but does what it does very well. Hmm. But it was enjoyable. I liked it.
Well, the rest of the quote says, "We have not abandoned the franchise. We are working on something, but I'm not willing to talk about that." So, I don't. Maybe it's another iPhone game. Maybe it's, you know, something on the 3DS. I'm hoping there's a full-fledged sequel to it, because it was a really cool idea for a game, and I feel like not enough people played that game to that deserved to.
Yeah, I mean, also like, I don't know, Mirror's Edge has always been in sort of a weird spot in that. So, like, you know, it's based on free running, which is kind of like speed running for life,
right?
And I don't know. It's still sort of, it's stuck in that next gen world. So,
how,
you know,
so?
like you So you see, it still has a very realistic world. It still has very realistic animations.
Right.
So like when you slide under something, like it doesn't happen as quick as it would have 20 years ago. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. What does that mean?
Okay. All right. So let me back up. My brain's kind of
okay.
Kind
so
of
Mega Man's down in A is better than the down on Mirror's Edge.
I'd say that. So I mean, you know, like if you look at like a speed running video for an old game, you know, like Mega Man, you know, it's the feeling that I get watching a video like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching someone just fly through this game and just bound over obstacles effortlessly the way they do,
right,
reminds me a lot more of free running. It sort of evokes that same feeling of free running much more than Mirror's Edge
now,
does.
Now, I will tell you this. I think the reason that you have this is because you've been watching speed running videos for Mega Man or whatever. I had a buddy who was so fucking good at Mirror's Edge because he would go for all the gold times because all the levels had time trials. I mean, it was just like watching a Mega Man. Like, he knew exactly what box, when to jump. I mean, if you watch the high-level play, it's practically the same as a Mega Man speed run.
Okay.
I mean, maybe if you're watching the trailers
honestly, I haven't seen high-level, like, Mirror's Edge, like, time trials kind of stuff.
Oh,
man,
I got to get to Googling now. I'm going to find something for you.
You have to enlighten me here.
Anyway, so I'm hoping we'll see something, but unknown at the moment. Here, I got another story for us, another small story. Harmonix trademarks Vivid Rhythm. Oh boy.
Interesting.
I don't want to say I'm done with rhythm games, but I'm done with rhythm games. Harmonix officially working on Dance Central 2, they confirmed earlier, but they have also blah blah blah. It files a patent. Let's see, the patent, the title, a patent and a trademark for a title of Vid Rhythm. Under the goods and service descriptions of video game software, downloadable free software, video game disc, and video game cartridges, protective carrying cases for MP3 players and cell phones. I guess they're covering all the bases. Though they probably do that for all new IPs that, you know, game companies work on.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm done with rhythm games, but I'm done with rhythm games being, like, the big thing.
They're not the big thing anymore, though. They've not been the big thing for 2 or 3 years now, just fig.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know, and I mean, I think I'm not alone in saying that, you know, I'm done with it being the big thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, because of Guitar Hero, because of how good that game was, you know, that kind of blew it up into a couple different companies all doing rhythm games.
It's weird to think about how the success of that single game, like I go to the store and I see, like, you know, Just Dance or High School Musical Dance Edition, right? And I think, man, Guitar Hero made you exist. That game was so good that this piece of shit exists now. Just Boogie for the Wii. Just wiggle the controller. It's Just Boogie.
I mean, unfortunately, I don't know if it's unfortunately or, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate. I mean, that's kind of how the game industry works.
I guess that's how all successful franchises or, you know, properties work, right? You get one big hit, and then 5 years later, it's a sad shell of what it once was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's honestly, it's how genres are born how genres are born and die.
Right.
You know, it's, you get like a really good single game that's, you know, either really original or really well done or both, you know, and then, you know, everyone is into it and it sells a shitload of copies because it's the only game like that. And everyone else is like, okay, well, that's what people are into now. Let's all make that too. You know, I mean, that's kind of what a genre is.
Right.
Like, it's not like, let's all get together. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like let's all get together and make, you know, free roaming sandbox crime games. You know, that might be a cool movement to do. It's no, Grand Theft Auto sold 8 fucking billion copies, and we're all going to make that same game now.
Right.
We're going to market to the crowd that likes Grand Theft Auto.
Right. And we still are. You know, Grand Theft Auto 3 came out. We got L.A. Noir today, more or less, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Speaking of rhythm games, Jessica, I do have one more thing I want to shoot in here before we finish up your news. Because this is... Oh, it's about a rhythm game, Jessica. Final Fantasy getting a new game on the 3DS that is rhythm based. Its name, Justin Fick.
What is it?
Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy.
Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy.
No. That's not
Fantasy.
Two words. THEATRHYTHM.
Oh, God.
Theater Rhythm.
It rolls off the tongue, Theater Rhythm.
Yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, like some sort of like 60s dance club. Welcome to Theater Rhythm.
or it sounds like some like really academic study of like, you know, like
rhythm games.
Theaterism 101.
Right. There's certainly not, the article says here, this is certainly not the first like non-RPG offshoot for the Final Fantasy series. Because I remember, what was that game? Oh, back in the Inner Guys. You remember that, where you could play as like Cloud and it was a fighting game from Final Fantasy VII?
I never played that.
Well, you didn't miss
much.
Yeah,
it's like Inner Guys and kind of like the precursor to Dissidia.
Right, yeah, or Chocobo Racing. You know, they've had a couple of these spin-offs. Or even there's something called, what is that new one they got? It's like Dissidia, that's like a mashup of all the Final Fantasies or something. I have not kept up with these offshoots, but for the reason that they mostly suck.
Final Fantasy has kind of lost me after 13.
Just listen to this description and tell me if you don't want to vomit. The game will be called Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy and is labeled as a Theater Rhythm action title. Players will have to tap the 3DS touchscreen in accordance to a beat of a song selected, while the top screen displays field scenes and side view battle scenes set to Final Fantasy locales. The game's art style will be colorful, reminiscent and of the style of Square Enix's Mobile Kingdom Hearts titles. Ugh.
Actually, you know what, Blood
Bug? Oh, shut up! No!
That doesn't sound half bad!
Maybe it won't suck, but it sounds like Elite Beat Agents and Final Fantasy cutscenes up top.
That sounds good. Like, Elite Beat Agents is fucking great.
I've never played that game. Is it as good as people?
Yeah, you're missing out, dude. Go grab a copy of that tape, and you will not regret
it. Is the music good in that game? That seems like it would be a pretty big key if the music was killer or not.
I'd say so. I mean, it's a really weird mix. Mm-hmm. So like they have, for instance, they have a really, really good cover of Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones. Mm-hmm. But then they'll also have
J-Pop 2000 like DDR does. DDR will go from like, we've got all.
There's no J-Pop. Oh. There's no J-Pop.
But you know, that's how DDR does. It's like, oh, we've got all your favorite American hits. By the way, half of the game is nonsense you have never heard in your life.
No, there's no nonsense, but it's a weird playlist. So it's like Rolling Stones. I think it's got like I can't remember her fucking name. I need to look up a playlist really quick. EBA.
While you're doing that, Jessica, I had a story about DDR I was going to tell you that got me thinking.
Do it.
I was I learned something the other day, Justin Fick. If you haven't played DDR in a while, right, and then you meet somebody who's like, "We should play DDR," don't.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
No, do not do it.
Because you suck now. However long it's been, you blow and will just shame yourself by sweating profusely and looking retarded.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, yeah, check this out. I'm about to smoke you. Oh, God. My feet are not what they once were.
Because, like, dude, back in my glory days of DDR.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, like the last half of college for me, I got really good at that fucking game. I was doing like, I could do some of the 10-footer songs on
yeah, I could beat Dropout on Maniac. That's, I beat it one time, and that was like the zenith, and I will never again have that ever in my life.
Dude, son, I don't mean to brag, but there was a point where Dropout was my warm-out song. Dude, like my, when I quit, I had done, I did Max 300.
Oh, my God. No one can do that song. You're a liar.
I did that shit. And then there are like two more 10 footers that I did, but they weren't very,
you know, and I was thinking the reason I got so good at that is because at the time, you know, I went to this weird school at the time. That's where me and William met. It was like a residential school, but for smart kids, you know, cause I'm smart, whatever. Hey, check that shit out. But part of it was like in my mind, which might've been true now, but I thought, man, if I'm good at this, girls are going to want to fuck me. Like, that's clearly now I know the more I play DDR, the less anyone will want to fuck me. But I'll never have that motivation to do well at that game ever again.
Yeah, like, I mean, I went back not too long ago and tried playing it, and I put on one of the 9-footers on Maniac that were,
right,
you know,
yeah, you're like, I got this. This is no problem.
Yeah, it was like cake to me back in the day. I was like, okay, I'll turn it back a little bit with this one.
Only 9 feet, not 10.
Yeah, yeah, it's only 9, and I remember when I played it too, I played that Sugaru, which is a really cool song, and then I played it, and I was sweating like a fucker, and I failed at the end of it first song. I'm like, oh my fucking god, yeah, like, I have fallen.
Anyway, did you find what you were looking for there, Justin?
I did, actually. So, it's got Rolling Stones, David Bowie, nice. Village People, Madonna, Ashley Simpson, huh.
Oh, what
Queen.
Dude, she's dead. Like,
yeah, she's gone.
That's like a pop star who was big for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, Sum 41, Stray Cats, Jamiroquai.
There are a lot of these 10-minute guys, now that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, Cher, the Jackson 5. So it's got a lot of, you know, it's a very, very eclectic mix, but, you know, like you don't feel like a tool for playing the Ashley Simpson song in the game.
Right.
The game is incredible. Like the cutscenes and stuff are very funny.
I might grab me a copy of that while I'm out and give it a run through.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes a good playing game because I did that once on a plane. I missed every fucking dot.
Whoops!
Like you go into turbulence and it's game over.
All right, well, that's about all there is to this Final Fantasy rhythm game. Maybe you're right, Justin. Maybe I'm being too hard on this.
Here's how this could be cool. It could be cool if and only if they do songs from old school Final Fantasy games.
Oh, that would be cool.
And have battle scenes and cut scenes from old.
Well,
Final
now
Fantasy
it did
games.
Say it. Now I've already closed the article, and I want to know this, but I think it said that the art style is going to be like that of Kingdom Hearts. So I don't. Technically, there still could be some old Final Fantasy elements, but seems like this is kind of being marketed towards the younger generation who did not play, 3-6 like we did.
Yeah, like if that's the case, like that's I'm not as excited for it. Like if they had like, you know, I'm gonna go show my age and go be all nostalgic for Final Fantasy 3-6, but if they had a battle scene from that game, like if they had the, you know, like the final battle from that game with the fucking last boss music from that game and rhythm to that, like that would be really fucking cool.
And can we just put like pull the brakes for a second, like what the fuck? Why has 3-6 never been re-released? I do not understand. That's clearly the greatest of the 2D, maybe even all of the classic Final Fantasy games. They've re-released every single other Final Fantasy game aside from 3-6. They only re-released it one time on Game Boy Advance and added nothing to it. Yep. It was a straight port. And that was even when the Game Boy Advance was kind of like dead by the point that game was released.
Yeah, like, you know, I want to say like there are a couple things like that couldn't perform as well on the GBA as they could on the SNES, like some of the graphical effects weren't as snappy. I think it just came out on Virtual Console, but again, that's just a port.
Yeah, where is like, because all these other, like, you know, 4 and 2, all those other ones have gotten the, you know, the Rockstar treatment of getting full remakes. The best game in the fucking series, still pretty much AWOL. Ever since its release.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing too. Like, I mean, I don't know if I might just be speaking for myself, but I think the ports, not the ports, but the remakes of Final Fantasy Japanese 3 and 4, for the DS, I thought they sucked.
Oh, really? I never played them.
Like, I have 3 and I've played through maybe half of it, and I don't really like it. Like, I don't know it. Like it's kind of a Final Fantasy, but it doesn't feel like one. I don't know. It's got like the new 3D graphics and it's got like a new art style and they try to graph a story onto it and I don't know. It just doesn't really feel like it's working. You know, like the ports of 1 and 2 for GBA and also for iPhone, I thought those were great.
Yeah.
Because they don't really try to do much to it.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said about it. I think I like the way that a lot of XBLA games do it now, or at least we're doing for time. I guess people aren't doing this quite so much, but where you can have both. And especially like, oh, you remember like Monkey Island, you hit a little button and you swap between the two. I think that is...
Yeah, I thought that was phenomenal because like I wasn't a big fan of the new Monkey Island stuff. I wasn't a fan of the voice acting and I wasn't a fan of the graphic style. But I can hit the back button and it goes right back to the
old. I was playing the new
graphics.
Monkey Island with my then girlfriend at the time, and I was trying to explain to her how, like, you know, if you hit the if you play with the shitty graphics, these puzzles are significantly easier to solve because you can see what they want you to look at better. And then she would say, "What the fuck are you talking about?" And that's a slap my forehead.
I mean, and then the other thing too, like, you know, like a lot of the jokes in Monkey Island, for instance, I'm going to go off on a tangent. Like a lot of the jokes in Monkey Island are much funnier when they're read.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to when they're spoken.
Right. Which, I mean, I guess you have to modernize them. And certainly right now we're in an absolute goddamn renaissance of adventure gaming. And I love it. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, right now is the of all time, perhaps, is the peak of adventure games, even more than in the early 90s. I mean, there's been a half dozen adventure game releases, semi-major adventure game releases this year alone, or in the past year. But, yeah, something is lost. I don't know, remember the point I was going to say. I just love adventure games. I think that's what I was getting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think something that's lost, I guess you could say it's lost, but it's more like something that those old Lucasfilm games had was Lucasfilm, like the, you know, like the same writers, like Ron Gilbert.
He's been doing Death Spank lately now, right?
Yeah, Ron Gilbert did Death Spank. I'm totally brain farting on his name.
Tim Schafer?
Double Fine. Tim Schafer. Right. Wow. You know, like they had those guys writing those games, and I think that's what, you know, that's... was a common thread to a lot of those. And, but yeah, like we are seeing a lot of cool new adventure games in a lot of cool different styles now. So like, you know, like the Monkey Islands are coming back out. There's Sword and Sorcery, which was phenomenal. Mechanarium. So
even,
you know,
even games like L.A. Noire, you could argue are, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say so. It's kind of like the adventure game put onto a, you know, onto a sandbox.
Sam and Max, what is it?
Jurassic Sam and Max,
Park,
like,
the Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. All these are basically classic adventure games that have... I don't see why they did. Like, what happened? How did they get... I mean, I guess they're sort of in the birth of this... you know, we love this term, Justin Fick, the mid-level developer. That I guess that's really the key, is that, like, the mid-level developer can thrive now, whereas... Well, I guess, I don't know, you could all... Well, maybe not...
I'd say so. Like, you know, there are many more ways for the indie to make a living now with all these downloadable distribution.
Well, they're not
channels.
Indie. Well, I guess like Machinarium is, but like Telltale Games and even you could argue like Costume Quest or Stacking from Tim Schafer is kind of an adventure game. You know, they're not indie games. They are these mid-level studios. Why didn't we see mid-level studios in the 90s or the early 2000s?
Well, it's not so much a question between indie and mid-level. It's the fact that indie studios can become mid-level because of these distribution channels.
That's true.
Or in the case of Double Fine, like they sort of became indie and mid-level from a triple A.
Yeah, I guess that's the
they kind of shrunk down.
Almost all these games are totally downloadable, I guess is the key there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the distribution is the main key. We solved the mystery. Looks like we just solved that adventure, Justin Fick.
Use ingenuity on industry.
I can't use these things together.
I don't seem to have one of those.
All right. Now, I do have some more things to say about Tim Schafer and all that. We'll get to that in our news section coming up. But Just Vic, you got a few more news bits for us, right?
I got a couple of small ones. So apparently Duke Nukem, our good friend Duke Nukem, has not sold as well as everyone has
thought. Oh, no.
So, Michael Pachter, who is chart tracking, he's an analyst, has lowered Take-Two's revenue expectations for Take-Two and Gearbox. I guess, you know, obviously because of the game's horrible, horrible reviews and the resulting shit word of mouth, you know, the game is just not selling well. So between L.A. Noire and Duke Nukem, these guys had expected Take-Two to sort of be, you know, kind of like hot shit, you know, right now. L.A. Noire has actually shipped more than they expected.
Right.
So they expected L.A. Noire to ship 3.5 million. They shipped 4. And there's still no numbers. I think there is. Yeah, they're expecting Duke Nukem to sell 3 million units because of, let me see the quote here, because of the high degree of hype and a dedicated fan base and expected solid profit contribution.
These journalists just copy-paste right out of the press releases.
pretty just much.
Put it right there. This is my job, copy-paste.
So, you know, and I can see that. I think, you know, a lot of people were expecting Duke Nukem to be, you know, probably not the best game in the world, but... you know, just to be a Duke Nukem game.
Right.
You know, it's just another Duke Nukem 3D, which, you know, didn't need to be the best game. It just needed to have character.
It needed not to be complete garbage. And sadly, it was complete garbage. Even decent, this game would have sold. Even if it had scores been decent, this game would have sold pretty well. But,
yeah. There actually are Duke Nukem, or estimates anyway. Like, their original estimate for Duke Nukem was 3 million units. And they've now cut it in half to 1.5.
Whoops.
So that's whoops indeed. So the result is that, you know, it's kind of brought their expectations for the whole publisher down. So, you know, they kind of put these out for the company. So L.A. Noire plus Duke Nukem.
Right.
And now they've kind of pulled... everything now. So one could say Duke Nukem is sort of bringing everything else down as well.
Right.
But,
all right. Well, you got any other news for us, Justin Fick? I had some other stuff. I think I'm just going to throw my other.
Yeah, I got some little shit. For instance, you're really Urban Champion, Blake Buck, for NES.
Oh, man. Oh, I vaguely remember that. What is that game?
This was, I remember playing this when I was a kid. This was probably the first street fighting game that I ever played. So, Urban Champion, you get, like, a blue dude and a green dude. And this is sort of one of those Nintendo side games, like Ice Climber, that gets love after, like, 25 years after seeing nothing.
Huh.
Or Excitebike, cool. For instance. But, it's basically just two dudes, and it's a side view street, and you start kicking the shit out of each other. And there's, like, people throwing, like, flower pots out of windows and such, but, like, I remember having so much fun with this game back in the day, because, when you hit, like, there's no life, but you could push people back and forth. So, like, when you hit somebody, they would, like, take a step back. And then, sort of, I guess, like, the health really was, you can push them back and forth off the screen.
Right.
And then it scrolls over, and then after enough times of doing that, there's like a little manhole. And then if you push it back far enough, they fall into the manhole, and they're done. So it's I guess now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of like that indie game Nitchhog.
Nitchhog?
Oh, dude, have you seen this yet?
No, what is this?
So this was the game that won the Nuovo Award at the IGF this past year. And it's like... The Nuovo Award is one of those, like, it's always for, like, whacked out, like, indie game, or really, like, indie art games. But this one was fucking cool. So it's kind of like a fencing game where it's one person versus another, and you fight.
Okay.
But, you have swords, and you have to, like, you know, you sort of do a little fencing, but it's like one-hit kills.
Oh, damn.
So you like run. So it's like you run the guy through, and there's blood everywhere, and then your dude gets a little go, and he runs to the next screen, and then there's another one of you waiting, and you fight again. So whoever wins gets to move. So like there's two people pushing in the opposite direction.
It's like tug of war, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of what Urban Champion is.
Okay.
Although, you know, I look at videos of Urban Champion now, and it's like, this feels like such a dated game now.
Yeah.
It's like looking at an old like Atari game. It's like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah, man. I won't get into this. Well, we might say this for next time, but I was talking about you before the show, Justin, about playing some of these old games on MAME. Mm-hmm. You know, and I play this game where I just kind of want to see a game I hadn't played before. I'll pick a letter and a number. So I'll put like K12. So I'll press a letter K and hit down 12 times and hit enter, and I'll play whatever game comes up. So the other day I was on K. I was doing my K game, and I played, what was it? Kamikaze Taxi. And it's kind of like the precursor to Crazy Taxi, clearly made in the 70s, top down, okay. Drive around. It was just an awful piece of shit game. It's like, man, this game would be good if they had any fun in it. But yeah, I mean, not that, all games are great and wonderful and everything now, but man, yeah, you look back at some of these old games and you're like, wow, we used to play this stuff and like love it.
Well, I guess the thing is like, And maybe that's why modern games are the way they are right now. Like, I guess my theory is that there's the same amount of shit back then as there is now.
Right.
But back then, really, all a game had was its gameplay. Like, you really couldn't. I guess the graphics were cool for its time. But
yeah, graphics were just as important then as they are now. People are like, oh, graphics used to not be important. Are you kidding me? I mean, systems were always, they had six different versions of the Atari, right? The 2600, the 4800,
yeah.
The 5200. The graphics have always been a staple of the gaming industry. I mean, so I think you're absolutely right. It's just, we remember it different looking back.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and then I'm sure there's games that I played back in the day that I enjoyed that, you know, are absolute just fucking garbage.
And what games do you think, here's the thing to think about, what games are we playing right now that we think are amazing that 10 years from now we'll go back and be like, I can't believe I was playing that trash.
I know, I would hope that nowadays my taste is a little more refined. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause I know that
it'll be that much more refined in 10 years.
True. I know that I'm actually passing on a lot of games nowadays because, you know, like, they just don't fucking excite me in any way whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, Grand Theft Auto 4. I played the first half an hour of that, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to play this game.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
I kind of want to try the game you mentioned though. Pick a letter, pick a number.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm thinking about doing a video. I'm always promising videos. I actually have the time to work on videos now because past 2 weeks I've been in school for the past all of July or June taking Spanish class. Finally done with that. Finally graduated. Finally moved out. And so I got a little more time to be working on videos and such. So I'll get some new heat up. I'm thinking about doing like a retro game highlight. Find one of these old, because man, there used to be a column over on, this is getting real fucking nerdy, but on like, you remember when, it was like Something Planet, like all the games had Something Planet. Remember that? Like back in the late 90s. Like, there was, like, Half-Life Planet and Quake 2 Planet.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, and they used to have this one section on that site called, like, Classic Game Zone, and they would highlight just, like, a weird MAME ROM that you needed to play. And, I used to go through that column and read it all the time, because you'd find these really, like, Super Bagman is a game I found on there. Super Bagman is this ridiculous game made in the like 70s for arcades, and it is just a blast to play. So I might, maybe it'll be a column, maybe I'll do a little video on a gaming throwback you need to check out. So we'll see how that goes. Anyway, you got any more news for us, Jessica?
Nope, that's it.
All right, my only news, I'll just say it real quick. Because it also, I don't know, maybe I'll save it for the jank. We'll keep a jank up, I'll save it for the jank. All right, Justin, it's time for releases. This week we got NCAA Football 12 for the PS3 and Xbox 360. Football, again, you're welcome. This one is college-themed.
Well, actually, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard anything about what's going on with the NFL this year, but it might be interesting to see, like, if there is no NFL this season.
I think there's going to be an NFL. This ain't hockey. All right, hockey can go on a strike. I mean, look, they had those riots after the Canadians didn't even win. We didn't even notice, right? We won the Stanley Cup or whatever cup it's called. I don't even know. America's like, what? They're rioting in the streets in Canada. Who? Check out this picture on Twitter. All right, whatever. Missplosion Man coming out on XBLA July 13th. This is the sequel to Splosion Man, but now she's pink and has a bow, much like the Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man, yeah.
Now, if there's one thing I could say, again, I want to save this for this section, but dude, what's the company that makes that game? Twisted Pixel. They are my heroes now. I'm going to tell you why in a minute, but they, like, I'm definitely picking this one up as soon as it comes out. Twisted Pixel, big thumbs up. Anyway, just take a...
I enjoyed the first one.
Take the rest of this heat.
All right, so we got Panzer Corps. Features 26 scenarios and 21 unique maps that covers most of the major battles of the European theater of World War II.
Oh, my God. Looking at screenshots yet? Why? Why would I look at this? You know, listen, new rule. If we see something and we haven't heard of it, let's just not say it, because we say it and then we look at it, it's like, my God, look at this shit game.
Oh God. Because I was gonna say, like, I read the description for this and I was like, if you're kind of into this, if you're sort of like an armchair, like, army general or something that wants to, like, relive these old battles as realistically as possible and, you know, see if you can outwit, you know, what the other generals actually did and see if you can actually win. Like, you know, that sounds kind of fascinating. And then I look at the screenshots and I'm like, this is not what this game is.
Just to lift the screen and you can see the man behind the curtain a little bit, Justin Fick. We get our releases off GameSpot. And I think these are sorted by rating. And rating is determined by fans. So sometimes, like, I guess a small game, if, like, just a few people click 5 on it, will get, like, high up in our list. Mm-hmm. I think that's how this works. Why we sometimes have these completely crap games in the middle of our releases. Anyway, what else we got?
We've got Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 video game.
Oh, boy.
So let's players step into the roles of their favorite heroes in the epic finale. Ugh. So I don't know. Like, this might be a cool game depending on, you know, if they make it a Harry Potter game or
I don't know this for a fact. I'm going to go on a limb here. Here's the question. Is Justin Fick a Harry Potter fan? I don't know the answer to this.
Oh, God, yes.
Really?
I fucking love Harry Potter. Yeah, really? I love Harry Potter.
I would have thought no. I would have thought that there aren't enough tits or chainsaws to satisfy you. I mean, I hadn't seen. I know Hermione's getting a little old these days, but I don't think she's there yet.
But it's got no tits or chainsaws, but the things, it kind of, like, you know, stealthily got me into it too, because I think I got into it around the fourth book.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, it was this, you know, by then it was this huge thing, and I read the first three, and they were, you know, they were good, like, you know, like they were kind of like these little kid stories, but they weren't. You know, they were still very fascinating, and, you know, I enjoyed the world. And the fourth book came out, and it was the size of the Bible.
Right.
And it was this, you know, it was a really good book, and that's the book where students started dropping dead. And I'm like, okay, now I'm fucking sold. Like, you know, Harry Potter started off as, like, this little kid's book, and now they're getting into, like, death and, you know...
And Hollows.
Hollows were, like, in the sixth book, like, a kid gets his chest, like, ripped open and blood sprays everywhere. Like, it's, you know, it's it gets into this fucking crazy cool shit.
Grade A Justin Fick material right there.
Hell yeah. I mean, you know, and I think it's kind of cool that all these kids got bamboozled into actually reading shit by Harry Potter. So
that's right. Well, technically, the generation. Okay, here's a little thing that's messed up. But a friend of mine who's a little younger than me, right, that we hang out, she's a girl. But I was thinking, man, she's so into Harry Potter. And I was thinking, man, when you started reading Harry Potter, like, Harry Potter came out when I was in, I don't know, maybe, like, maybe late middle school, high school, right? I don't know. You would probably been maybe even college for you, Justin Fick.
I think it came out in college for me.
Yeah, like, maybe late high school, early college. She's like, oh, yeah, that came out when I was in, like, fourth grade. It's like, oh, my God, why am I drinking with you? I'm going to jail.
I need to see some ID now, actually. I need to double check to make sure what I'm doing here is legal.
Anyway, do you know anything about that? I guess they put a, do they put about one of these Harry, I know they do Lego Harry Potter, but have you played any?
Yeah, Lego Harry Potter was good. I enjoyed that.
I don't know about these main releases. I hadn't really looked into them much, but I guess if you're a fan, you're going to buy it already, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, most of them never really excited me, but just the amount of fighting and explosions and death that goes on in the last part of the last book, mm-hmm. like, that can be pretty fucking cool.
All right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, nothing else really on releases here.
Yeah, UFC personal trainer fit system that we talked about before.
Reefer Madness DLC for LA Noire.
Yeah, if you got it, go get it, blah, blah, blah. So,
all right.
Nothing else exciting, that's it.
All right, let's see, do we want to do this new section or Jank of the Week? Because I do have a little thing for Jank of the Week.
Let's do a Jank first, and we'll go into our new
shit. Out of the way. Okay, it's time for Jank of the Week. Guys, this jank of the week is fairly simple, and it may not be as good of a jank as, because right now it's a real good jank. Next week, it may, by the time this podcast comes out, it may be, just be a decent jank. Fallout New Vegas, as of this week, as in the week, I guess before this is, we'll see how quick we can get it online, but Fallout New Vegas is $10 at Best Buy for the week of, it's July 6th right now, so that week, I guess until Sunday, it's going to be $10 at Best Buy. And I'm looking on Amazon. Though. It's only $15 on Amazon. So,
oh, shit.
And not only that, there's a news story to go with this. This is for PS3 or Xbox 360. But apparently they issued their... I don't know if it's the final patch, but like the one of the last big patches they're going to have that apparently fixes a lot of, quote, performance and stability issues and adds a new save feature that automatically saves prior to the end of the game that allows you to play through the downloadable content without creating a new save, which my brother told me was something that really sucked about that because, like, I guess you get to the end, and if you don't save before the last boss, you got to play through it again to get to the DLC.
Oh, does it have, like, one of those things where it's got those points of no return?
Right, yeah. So okay. I guess they've sort of patched all that, and this is probably the last big patch they'll roll out for this game. So if you waited like I, or both of us did, $10, I mean, even if it's not, as people say, it's not as good as the original. You know, one thing I want to talk about just quickly, Fallout 3 really got ruined for me because, like, I got that game, and me and my roommates were so into it, they played the shit out of it that I watched them play it so much, then I don't want to play it anymore, right? Because I've seen them blow up the town, right? And I've seen them do all the missions, and it's like, well, you just robbed me of my game, you assholes. You owe me $50.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a consequence of just the way games have sort of become cinematic now is that once you've seen it, you don't really need to play it anymore. Because it's not really a challenge.
You know what, let's not even play games. Let's just go on YouTube and play games, just to think.
I mean, I hate to admit it, I've done that a few times.
Well, hey, yeah.
I have no intention of ever playing this game. I'm just going to go on YouTube and watch.
Oh, that's what we did with, I mean, you and I have, none of us have played Duke Nukem, but we go and watch videos online and we can very quickly.
I played the first level of it just so I could speak somewhat authoritative.
My brother went and redboxed it.
I regret it.
My brother redboxed, and he said, you know, it wasn't as awful as I thought it was going to be, but it was still pretty awful. So, anyway, there you have it. What is that game called? Fallout New Vegas, $10 or $15 via Amazon, with patches, so apparently it's good.
I need to go do that and pick that up, and also pick up the New Earth Defense Force.
Oh, damn, that's right. Got it, man. Too many games. Not a lot of good games out right now, man. And speaking of which, let's unrail our new segment to replace Judgment tentatively, or maybe not, but I don't know. What do we call this?
Tapes.
Justin Fick, it's time for tapes.
Tapes.
All right, so Justific, what are your tapes this week?
All right, well, I guess let's talk about what tapes is going to be first. So, you want to take this blade bug? You want me to?
Yeah, I'll take this. Basically, instead of, you know, because you know, I'm not gonna name names, but there's only two of us on the show. We got called out last week for shitting on a game that we had not yet played, Justin Fick.
Oh.
Shat all over that game. And, you know, some people who remain anonymous didn't appreciate that so much. So I think now the better way to do this is that we should differentiate our opinions about games based on, like, what we're actually playing and have real opinions on, as opposed to just us shitting on things willy-nilly.
Okay.
And so for that, we're going to talk about the only thing you can truly trust our opinions on is this new section called Tapes, where we tell you what games we've been playing this week. So I'll kick us off, Justific. One game, you want to go back and forth, or you want like me to do, because I got like maybe three I could talk about.
Yeah, I got about three, too. Yeah, let's go back and forth.
All right, my first tape I got is, oh, damn it, I forgot my tape. Here, you go first.
Okay, I just picked up a game. I picked up Shadows of the Damned.
Okay.
And I played through maybe like the first section of it so far.
Shadows of the Damned. Oh, that's that Grasshopper game, right?
Yeah, Shadows of the Damned is a new Suda 51 tape.
Okay, nice.
So, it's kind of cool. Like it's got Suda 51 style to it,
right? Which is very cool. I would dare say now that I've just been watching so much Cowboy Bebop lately, kind of in that same sort of like grungy anime Cowboy Bebop style, right?
This one, not so much. This one, I would say, is much more Grindhouse.
Okay, yeah.
This game is very Robert Rodriguez.
Okay. Because I was thinking, Suda 51, or, what's the name? Killer 7 is more of that style, is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Anyway, so, well, what you got on it?
So, it's kind of cool. You play this demon hunter. And, I really haven't gotten into his backstory yet, but he kills demons, and the demons come back, and, they're reborn every time he kills them, so he just keeps killing them, I guess. And, the story starts with a demon sort of decides he's gonna go to his house and, like, fuck his girlfriend up and take her to hell. and it's worth noting that, like, sort of like the banter between your character and this demon is very, I don't know, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. They're making fun of each other's dick sizes and, you know, it's much more witty than you would expect from, like, a Devil May Cry or something that takes itself super serious, right? Like a Darksiders or something.
Now, I heard that there were a whole lot of dick jokes in this. Is it too much, or is it just... I mean, then again, we make dick jokes constantly on this show.
Yeah, I'd say it's, so far, it's sort of on the level of Bulletstorm.
Okay.
There's a lot of them. For instance, your main pistol is called the Boner. I'm not kidding. You can upgrade your Boner.
I gotta get this game. Wait, hang on.
Well, what's funny, like, it's like you, someone showed me a picture of the manual, and there's like, you know, there's a bunch of like button listings for what, you know, all the things you can do with your boner, like whip out boner, you know, aim boner, like all that kind of shit. So it's, you know, it definitely doesn't take itself seriously at all. It's very over the top, very, you know, very tongue in cheek, I guess is the term I'm looking for.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of cool like mechanics to it. Like, it's got a lot of cool light and dark stuff. Like, there's lamps you have to shoot to keep light. When the light goes out, like the, you know, like you go into hell, and when the lights go out,
an alternate version, a demon version of the regular level, or what does that mean? You go to hell?
The game takes place in hell.
Oh, okay.
So basically, the first level opens up with you opening up the door to hell.
Whoops!
And you go in.
Why'd you do that?
No, I mean, you're kind of going there on your giant motorcycle.
Oh, okay, all right.
And you sort of park in front of it and you open it up and you go in. Oh, it's also worth noting that your boner is also a demon.
It's a gun, a boner, and a demon all at the same time.
And a motorcycle. Your boner turns into your motorcycle.
Why can't we have this in real life?
I don't know. It's like, well, I guess it's like he's actually like a little demon himself, your boner. And when he's not anything else, like when he's sort of like this little disembodied floating skull that follows you around, but he speaks with this very English accent, sort of like the way the little guy does in Portal 2.
Oh, okay.
Like he's very, you know. He's very conversational. He has this like little, you know, polite English accent, and then he turns into a gun or a motorcycle. And there's a lot of cool banter between your boner and the main character too. So it's you know, it's very funny. I like it so far. So, I mean, I've only played like maybe a half an hour into it, but I enjoy it.
Cool. Let's see. The first game I got for you, Justin Fick, Comic Zone. Now, I got this game because it was on sale on XBLA last week. And because I was like, oh, you know, this looks all right. And, you know, I kind of like those Twisted Pixel guys. I had no idea. Okay, let me say this. The gameplay of this game is not great. It's pretty derivative. It's not that original. You know, it's platforming and shooting. It's been done. You know, it's kind of like a Contra. It's not fantastic. What is fantastic, and I'm not even just going to say the humor, because the humor is pretty good, but, like, there's so much just nonsense. It's like this absurd... I can't even describe it really as well as I'm like, okay.
Wait, this is the game where you're sort of like a comic book character and you're going between panels and
right.
shit?
Well, no, not quite. Essentially, you're a comic book hero that in his comic blows. And several times throughout the game, like, the game will pan out and you'll see a video of yourself playing the game as, like, a video of a person reading the comic is, like, watching it, and then just goes and, like, throws it in the trash because it's the worst. Like, there's one where the kids are just stomping it on the ground and kicking dirt on it. I mean, they have these cutscenes with video that just absolutely fucking kill me. And like, okay, for instance, the developer is Twisted Pixel, right? And they reference Twisted Pixel all the time. They're like, we got a grant from Twisted Pixel. What's his name? Mr. Smiley is the name of the hero. And they're like, we got a grant. Okay. And they're going to let you zap into other comics to try and make back some money so maybe you can get your own comic again because it sucks. And there's so much stuff like, oh, you can unlock videos. And... oh my god, I really feel bad that I don't have the audio here to play because it's so funny, but it's like, okay, one of the videos is an interview with the voice of the girl in the game. You have like this girl that helps you out with the missions and stuff.
Okay.
And so the interview is like her sitting, I guess, in like their break room. And it's, you know, it's got the blue screen or the purple screen with the pink letters that are script that says a conversation with and whatever the actress's name is. And it's got soft kind of like music playing, like you're getting ready for a smooth jazz, you know. Da, 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 da. And they're asking her just the most awful questions, like, have you ever seen a game? Is it hard being a voice actress and also not being in the kitchen?
Wow.
Yeah, it's... Okay. That's, like, it's... The whole game is just loaded with this just absurd nonsense. Okay, for instance, you get a special button, right? A special button kills everything on the screen, right? A lot of games have this.
Okay.
What happens, you call on the Twisted Pixel guys to help you. The screen pans out to a comic panel, and then a bunch of, like, real fists and legs just punch at the screen from the edges, and then everything dies. It is absolutely fucking hysterical. Oh, you go to the stat screen, right? And they have a stat screen song. Like, oh, I wish I remember how it goes, but it's like, can you believe that? Look at all those stats. You can do anything you want. And the two guys playing it on the guitar, singing the stats song, like reading you all the shit that's. And of course, the stats themselves are stupid. Like, how many times have you pressed start? Like, none of it even matters.
Now, is this an old game, Blade Black?
This came out maybe 6 months, maybe a year ago.
Oh, so it is kind of... Okay, this is not the game I was thinking of at all then. Like, the game I was thinking of came out for the fucking Genesis.
No, no, no,
or something.
Yeah, you're thinking of Comic Zone, I think.
Okay.
What is this one called? No, I even wrote Comic Zone. What is this one called? Is it called I can't remember the name now. I'm getting... Because now you've gotten me confused. Which is which?
Okay, because Comic Zone is the one I'm thinking
okay,
of.
Okay, Comic Jumper. I'm sorry, that's right. I've gotten them backwards. Comic Jumper is the name of this. Anyway, Just Fick, absolutely hilarious. I mean, the gameplay's all right, but I just love playing it just for the humor and the cutscenes. It's fantastic.
Okay. So it's like a year old, right? So it's like on Xbox.
XBLA. They had it on sale for like $5 this week. I think it's normally maybe 10 or so. I think it might be 15. I don't know. Either way, it's not too much, especially with their new game coming out. Oh man, I wish I could just like show you all the jokes in this game. It is amazing, Justin Fink.
Okay. So,
if you're looking for some teehees, check out comic Jumper, not Zone. All right, you got any more for us, Justin Fink?
I've actually gone sort of. I've been playing an old SNES tape that I played through once a couple of years ago. It was never released in the USA.
Uh oh.
And it was actually a stump buck back in the day too. But it's called Live Alive.
Hmm.
Have you heard of this or remember it at all?
What is this about?
So this is a Square game. It came out, I believe, it's around the time of Final Fantasy V.
Mm-hmm.
But very, very, very cool game. So this is it's an RPG, and it's. I guess graphically, it's Final Fantasy 4, 5-ish around there. So it's got, you know, it's, picture the Final Fantasy 4 sprites and that kind of stuff. But the premise of the game is what was cool about it.
Hmm.
So the game had, it has like 8 different scenarios, like different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like one that's prehistoric, one that's, you know, present day, one that's, you know, in the future, that kind of stuff. Each one of these is a different chapter, and you can do them in any order.
Hmm.
So, like you start a new game, and it gives you sort of like this buffet, as it were, of the 7 initial main characters. So, you know, and then you can pick the caveman, you can pick the cowboy, you can pick the robot, you can pick the ninja. There's like a karate master. There's a fucking like Akira type mech dude.
Mm-hmm.
So like each one of these has a whole different scenario and a whole different story.
Hmm.
And you know, and it's kind of cool because some of them actually have no combat whatsoever.
Hmm.
And then some of them are like full on like RPG experience with leveling up and that kind of stuff. And when you beat all 7 of them, like each, you know, and at the end of it, each one has like a little boss battle, and that character's little arc is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you beat all those 7, there's an 8th one that pops up, and that's sort of like the final chapter. And that's, and then in that chapter, like all the other 7 characters, you know, like, you know, spoiler, I guess, but all the other 7 characters come into the same scenario, and they all have to fight like this one true evil.
Hmm. So
it's very, very cool. It's very quirky. Like, for instance, you know,
yeah, I'm looking at some screenshots here. You're fighting a giant fish, I see, at one point.
Yep. Yeah, the battle systems is kind of cool too. It's not really like a Final Fantasy, as it's much more like a tactics. So the battle screen, you get a grid,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, characters can move on this grid, and then there's also enemies and stuff on it, and then each one of your attacks has a certain pattern that it can hit.
Hmm.
So you kind of have to like move your character in the right spot, and then hit them with this. You know, like some attacks only hit diagonally, some can only hit at a distance. So it's very, very cool, and it's kind of like Earthbound in a sense, where it's not your typical setting.
Yeah, and that's really refreshing. That's one of the reasons like Chrono Trigger I thought was a really great game, is because it seems like a lot of the RPGs of that time were in that like generic fantasy or anime fantasy world. And this looks awesome. I'm looking at just some pictures of it here, but. This was for SNES, and it never came out in America?
Yeah,
or
it never came out in America, so you have to get a ROM of it, and I believe, like, a translator patch. I'm trying to remember if I found English version or if I found a Japanese patch.
Justin, you don't have to put that in the Dropbox for me now. You done messed up.
All right, yeah, dude, I'll
how cool would that be to have, like, a collective Dropbox? Oh, man, what about this? What if we had, like, we talk about a game, and then, like, we put it in the Dropbox, and you can get it off the website. Who's going to sue us for putting Live Alive on the website, honestly?
If anything, we got a cease and desist.
Yeah. But, yeah, we could all play Live Alive and then come back and talk about it next week. Dude, I'm digging this.
Yes, I mean, it's, you know, really, really only one of the scenarios is your typical medieval, you know, kind of Final Fantasy setting.
Right.
And it's, you know, and that chapter is kind of meant to be that, you know, right. Like it's just one of many, like for instance, there's one chapter that has no overworld at all. Like for instance, the present day chapter is, you know, you are, sort of like a professional wrestler,
huh.
And you have, and you're trying to become the best, but you know, there really is no story or overworld. It just gives you a screen of six opponents, Mega Man style. And you have to beat them all one by one.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's, you know, like they're all very, you know, they're very different. They're very original. Like there's maybe only like two or three of those seven that are traditional level up RPG kind of things.
All right, here's the idea. All right, just here it is. Are you ready for it? We're gonna have a new segment. We're gonna call it homework. Every week you got to do your homework, and then we'll come back and talk about it next week. So how about we make Live Alive? I guess you've already kind of talked about it, but Live Alive is the homework for next week, and I'll post a link to the ROM, the translated ROM, and if you don't know how to do emulators, I'll put some links to Mac and PC emulators for SNES, and you get your game on. We can all play together.
Yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
Yeah, just sort of like a podcast-wide, you know, file sharing.
Yeah, awesome.
So, and then, you know, I guess, you know, if we want to talk about it again next week, we can. Like,
well, yeah, we'll have to do a homework follow-up, right?
Yeah.
Because if I hate if I hate this game, I have to shit on it. And you will have to hear of it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll put it in the Dropbox.
Yeah, I'll host, you know, it on the site somewhere. You guys, I'll go to jail. Don't worry. It'll be Blake going to jail for posting Live Space Alive illegally. So yeah, if you're down for that, check out, there'll be a link in the show notes and on the website. And, see, we're at an hour and a half, Justin Vick, and I know you gotta go to bed and I gotta go to bed. So why don't we cut tape short this week? And, let's get to feedback. We got one quick feedback.
Tim G. in Minnesota writes in, "You have maybe already seen this, Great Sir Buckingham, but who knows? It reminds me of you for some reason." Mongler for Life, Tim G. in Minnesota. So the website he sent in is http huntmeforsport.com.
I don't know what this is.
And that's the number four. So huntmeforsport.com.
Is this a podcast? It's just, there's a dude who's a redneck.
So I'm on here now. It's like, it's a sort of redneck dude. Is there an about page on this?
I don't know what this is. I'm a little scared of it. Is it a podcast? Maybe it's just a photo blog of this dude being manly. That might be it too. In fact, if I had to guess, this guy didn't look like much of a podcaster, but he's got a website. Who knows?
I don't know. I think,
I don't know what this is. If you guys want to, we should have looked at this beforehand, but,
All right, so, okay, I think I figured this out. I've scrolled down a little bit. It looks like you pay this dude $10,000, mm-hmm. Okay, and then he invites you to come out and hunt him.
Now, surely you can't kill this guy. Surely that would be illegal.
I don't know. For $10K, you should have the, you know, it's... It seems like if you're gonna put your ass out here in the internet for $10,000, I think you should be putting your life on the line here. Let me see. I can't tell if what he lets you hunt him with or.
Surely there's got to be stipulations. Let's see. I'll tell you what. You wire me cash money, and I'll give you directions flat off the interstate. I'll shake your hand and look you in the eye like a goddamn man, and then haul ass while you're cleaning off your piece and unload. I don't know if this is serious or not, but I love the idea of it.
All right, hold on. I think I might have found the first one. I seek hearty gents who fancy themselves sportsmen and bored of the usual game. I am a new breed of prey with thick pelt and smooth hide. I'm faster than a wild turkey, smart as any goddamn wild boar, and willing to make the ultimate sacrifice for the monetary health of my family. So, if I am trapped and killed, you stand to earn the respect of your fellow hunters, a prize human mount for your wall, and all income from any organ harvest.
This is not real, but I like it.
For this, I ask the reasonable sum of $10,000 per hunter per round. I will be armed with my wits and the clothes on my back. So, let's see. Let me see. Okay, so a round is a day, 24-hour hunt.
This is not real. Hunter falls this is not real. This is nonsense. There's no way you could legally do this. There's no way.
I don't know, man.
Anyway, here let's move on to our. You keep looking at that heat. I'll get on to our last email here. Yo, BDPE crew. This is from Hayoshiro, listening since back in the day. BDPE crew, I've been catching up on podcasts. Oh, Startup Disc is almost full. We gotta finish this one up quick, just a pick.
Oh shit. Okay.
Crew, I've been catching up on podcasts now that they are coming out on such a regular basis. Good work, by the way. You're welcome, positive comment leaving feedback person. Where are the shows? Bullshit. I like how we get positive feedback on a week in which we haven't had a show up for 2 weeks. Anyway, you're driving me crazy with your bad data you're putting on the game releases. Darkspore might be listed as Maxis, but it's developed by an entirely different team. Will Wright isn't even associated with it. Duke Nukem Forever was not taken from 3D Realms, and all other prior work was tossed out the window along with now ancient assets. Gearbox hired most of the team, and then they set out to finish it. It's not completely brand new team with all new code and assets. All right. We already said it. We can't undo it. Mortal Kombat wasn't a clearinghouse of developers to give it better developers. The team parted ways with Midway and renamed it NetherRealm Studios, and it seems like they have more creative control. So their main man, Ed Boon, had a blah, blah, blah. All right, fine. Okay, good points for being right, and we're wrong. Let's read a paper on how wrong we were. Hayoshiro, I'm not liking you. I realize that.
Well, I mean, you know, the man is right, and also, you know, disclaimer: never come here looking for, you know, accurate,
right?
You know, the news journalism. Yeah.
Justin Fick is searching on the logistics of murdering this man online. He's not your number one news source. I realize all this is in the past, but I thought I'd point it out anyway before my mind is fried. Before my mind is fried by your crazy sober ramblings. Keep up them podcasts. Also, we should have a special battle attack where listeners can inflict battles upon other people. I don't know if we get this game thing going. There's ideas clicking around. We'll see how this goes. Anyway, listening since IMG episode 1. Well, thank you, sir. Hayoshiro. All right, and I think it does for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you think about that, Justin Fick?
Dude, I think that's pretty good. Dude, I think I figured out what this is. You ever seen the movie Surviving the Game? Oh. Fucking Ice-T and like Gary Busey and shit. This is this in reverse. This dude is inviting you to come out and try to kill him.
Or yeah, there's another like a Van Damme movie that's kind of got that plot where something like that. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or leave a listener line 845-BATTLE-9. You can leave us voicemail there. If you want to participate in our homework for next week, we got Live Alive, which you can either find your own copy of. I'll stick a link on the website with links to emulators and stuff. If you want to play along at home, see how this goes. Maybe if you have some thoughts, send us some feedback on it and let us know how it goes. And from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, before I say it, we got to thank Craig Reed for editing the shows, TK and Pseudo Sushi for helping out on the site, and I think that just about does it. William Miller, hopefully, if he comes back. Please come back, William Miller.
Finish that tape, William Miller.
And from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time. Okay, what you got?
Alright, so I got another idea here. So the whole BDP hedge fund we got going on. If that gets to the $10,000, we need to send a monger out to kill this guy.
Okay.
Now, here's how we pick the monger. We bring battle back as battle royale, and it's sort of like a single elimination tournament. So say we get like 8 people in there or something, or like 16 or whatever we can get, and then every podcast we pit 2 of them against each other. and then we get down to one, and your grand prize is if BDP Hedge Fund gets the $10,000, you will have 24 hours to kill this man in ultimate battle.
Just, there's a lot of murdering in this plan.
Well, the thing is, this guy is inviting us to do it, and he's in. It says here he is not going to attempt self-defense. He's only going to try to evade capture. So, you know, in the event of my demise, all payment will default to his family. And, dude, he's got a fucking smokehouse and a grill at his place.
Have lunch afterwards.